In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, welcome back, Payne and Pendergast. Before we get to Jerry Jones,
I want to get out in front of this before I make an inevitable mistake someday. So okay. I've got this on record as me not trying to start a rift in the future. My phone, even after its brand new iPhone update, for whatever reason, 2 weeks into Bobby Slowick's tenure, will still autocorrect every time I say write Bobby Slowick to Bob Slovak. So at some point, I'm going to tweet out something like, they got to get rid of Bobby Slowick, except it's going to autocorrect because I'll be angry at the moment.
Yeah.
It's going to autocorrect to they got to get rid of Bob Slovak.
I wonder if Bob, he catches some of that already.
Bob's going to be like, what the hell?
What did I do
Seth, what did I ever do to you? I thought we were cool, man.
Dude, and Bob Slovak's one of the nicest guys ever on top of that.
No, like, I feel so bad about it.
Yeah. Like, it'd be one thing.
Bob Slovak doesn't know what he's doing, right. And he hasn't the entire time he's been here.
Right. Like, it'd be one thing if that were actually true, but, like, he's the nicest guy ever. Oh, that's so funny.
He might be listening right now.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, if he's not, someone will let him know. Like, hey,
it's so weird. Every time, and I correct it every time, and my phone won't learn that I'm trying to say Bobby Slowick.
That's
I've never
weird.
Once tweeted about Bob Slovak or anything.
You're a little too smart. He's probably in your contacts, you know what I mean? So they're like, oh, they fish. In a matter of a microsecond, they're able to fish in there in your contacts and go, oh, no.
It's one of the reminders that you can't trust AI. Like yesterday when I was searching, I plugged into Gemini. I just wanted Hall of Famers who went to small colleges.
Yeah.
And it spit out a respectable list of guys like, Walter Payton, Jerry Rice, DeMarcus Ware,
John Randall, and Ed Reed.
Yeah. Ed Reed, who went to the tiny University of Miami, which according to Gemini, it is not an FCS school. So I asked for clarification.
Oh, FBS. Yeah, it's not.
Or FBS. Yeah, school. FBS school.
Yeah.
I think the best I can figure is that Gemini thought that it probably figured Miami of Ohio somehow. It got mixed up in its search.
Oh, yeah. But even
so, it's like. But the problem is, you come across articles that are like. That's how you can tell some of these articles are written completely by AI.
Yes.
Because it'll make big name swap errors that are glaring. And yet somehow this thing that's supposed to replace us all can't figure it out.
Yeah, that's
like Ed Reed went to the U.
Right. That's where I still feel good about our security out here in society as human beings versus the machines. For now.
I don't, because I'm more worried that people are going to start leaning on it more heavily than they should.
Yeah.
And these mistakes are going to end up with a nuclear bomb.
Oh, well, there's that. Yeah.
Lobbed at us at some point.
I hadn't
thought
that many steps ahead.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about the check coming every 2 weeks. So let's get to Jerry Jones here. Bob Slovak noted. Seth is not mad at you.
Got to get rid of him. When has Bob Slovak ever demonstrated that he can actually execute a championship offensive caliber?
That's true.
When has he shown that he can provide us an offensive a championship caliber offense?
That's right. Has Bob Slovak ever really coordinated a good run game before? No.
Was D'Amico Ryans wrong to hire Bob Slovak?
That's right. Oh, man, people coming in the middle of this segment right now. Here was Jerry Jones yesterday on 105.3 The Fan up in Dallas. Mike McCarthy, I think the general thought is that he's going to be gone after this year. It's been a disappointing season for the Cowboys. Win over the Commanders on Sunday, notwithstanding. But Jerry Jones says, hey, man, Mike McCarthy, who's operating with his contract being up at the end of the year as of right now, he might get an extension.
Well, I don't think that's crazy at all. That's not crazy. And Listen, Mike McCarthy is an outstanding coach. I was listening to the game last night, watching it, and Aikman was talking about it, and he's reiterated that several times publicly, this Super Bowl winning coach. And Mike McCarthy has been there, done that. He's got great ideas. So bottom line is that in no place in my body language or anything else have you seen indications about what we're going to be doing relative to this staff at the end of this year. And we shouldn't. We got a lot of football left. I used to play 10 games in college. And so if you measured it by that, we've got 60% of a college season left. It's longer now, of course. But, boy, six football games, that's a lifetime.
Dude, that was some serious meandering at the end there. We used to have college seasons were 10 games, so we've got 60% of a college season back in 1962.
He was venturing into top quartile of the top quartile.
He was territory. He was going Ursae, yes.
He was, man. Earlier this year, he had something where he was doing just fine, but then he started bringing the actual math into it. And it was something about the salary cap that just made zero sense at all.
Yeah.
He's a GM. And it spoke to, yeah, this is the guy, he's the GM,
yep.
And he doesn't understand some of the basic situation, like salary cap situation stuff, when he uses the numbers. And that probably speaks to a lot of what's going on with the Cowboys, is that you've got a micromanaging owner who doesn't actually put in the time of a micromanager. Mm-mm. And that's a tough spot to be in.
No. If you were a Cowboy fan hearing that Mike McCarthy might get an extension this offseason, how would you feel?
I feel like they're just saying that's just Jerry being Jerry.
Yeah.
That's just him, like, you know, he's doing the right thing in terms of, all right, if you don't want things to turn any more toxic than they already
are. That's a good point.
Voice support. I feel like if I were an owner, which is unlikely to happen, or a head coach, doubly unlikely to God, I don't want that for myself.
Mm-hmm.
If I were ever one of those two guys, I would have to have a really good plan for my coach speak or GM speak going into it. Because there's times where you're just going to lie. You know, and yeah, you got to tell yourself that it's just for the good of the team and everything. And he's kind of doing, I don't think there's a chance in hell he rehires Mike McCarthy, but he's trying to keep the train from going any further off the rails.
Yeah. They're having a weird year because they've been awful at home. They're 4-7. Mm-hmm. They're 0-5 at home and they're 4-2 on the road. Like that's a strange season. For two reasons. I mean, the one obvious reason, which is, oh my God, you're way better at home than you are on the road. But the other two weird things about it is they're getting destroyed in every game at home. They're not losing close games at home. They're getting smoked by an average of 24 points. Every single game at home this year, the Cowboys have trailed by 20 points at one point or another during those games. Oftentimes, at the final gun, they've trailed by 20 or more points. And
like
real quick, the other weird thing is that they were an amazing home team until that Green Bay playoff game. It's like that Green Bay playoff game was like this pin that got stuck into a balloon, then the balloon pops, and now all of a sudden they're awful. They were a great, great team at home for a few years there.
They're a lot like my ninth grade English teacher, Mr. Smith, who is an awesome teacher. But whenever, you know, a couple times a year, the vice principal comes in to observe class, Mr. Smith would just completely fall apart when the vice principal was in there. Oh, it was awful, too, because he was kind of like, you could tell he was an aging hippie. And he was really cool because he was just, you know, he's an English teacher.
Yeah.
I'm painting a picture here for you. Kind of like, looked like Tom Petty almost, like dressed like him and everything, too. But then you could tell you'd walk into class one or two days a year, and he was wearing a suit. You know, and he looked all of a sudden like, welcome back, Cotter. And you could tell he was like nervous. And he ended up just sucking in front of the vice principal. He was trying to be somebody he wasn't. I feel like that's what the Cowboys are when they play at home.
Yeah.
It's like the vice principal is there.
They are. There's 93,000 vice principals.
They're all dressed up.
Yep.
They look like they should be a good teacher and or head football coach or good home football team, and it just doesn't work out that way.
Why did he dress up for that day? I mean, I know why, because the vice principal's in there, but like I know the reason why, but I would tell him, like, dude, it's not like they don't see you walking around the school the other 200 days out of the year that there's school. They know that you wear flip-flops and t-shirts every day.
Let me put it this way.
Yeah.
Kids, this might be hard to understand. There used to be a much greater stigma attached to to people who smoked the marijuana. And it was a different time.
Yeah.
And I think people might look at Mr. Smith and they might think, hey, that guy looks... He also looks kind of like Jim from Taxi. And I don't know, maybe there were rumors or what have you that this guy maybe was a bit of a stoner. You know, and I don't know, looking back on it, I have no clue or whatever, but that was the scuttlebutt.
Yeah.
And I think he knew and understood that. And he was trying real hard not to look like a stoner when the vice principal was
I get the reason why, but my advice to him would have been like, dude, clearly how you look is affecting how you're performing right now. You like he might have been more comfortable in his usual attire.
I think he knew that because our vice principal, Mr. Almondsberger, like, that's the name of a vice principal, is it not?
Yeah.
He just comes you feel like, is this guy a vice principal or a Nazi?
Drill
I don't know.
Sergeant, yeah.
Yeah, it's like Arnold Schwarzenegger, so it's Almondsberger, whatever. I think it was that dynamic. I think he was kind of really like, man, this guy probably hates me. Yeah. I just got to try to make it through today, make it through the lesson plan. Yeah. And, yeah.
He's a good teacher, though, huh?
Oh, he was awesome. Yeah. I don't know. I just liked him personally.
Yeah.
That's a
yeah.
good teacher in my book.
Yeah, for sure.
No, yeah, he pulled the creative. He got my creative juices going.
Good.
He pulled it out. Yeah.
Okay, for you, he was good. Text message, and this is all it says, but they're referring to C.J. Stroud, obviously, and this might be a reply or a playoff of a previous text, but after the talk with Caleb, this is an answer to the when was the honeymoon over question. Okay. This person is saying after the talk that CJ had with Caleb Williams after the Bears game, SMH.
Dude, that big bro is not working out right now, man. Oh,
CJ's probably got a lot of audio and video out there, like in terms of things he said this past offseason. Honestly, probably stuff that got us really gassed up as Texan fans, and I'm not mad about it or anything. And,
right.
and probably a lot of stuff that was closer to being the truth at the time. Like when he's declaring himself a top five quarterback on a podcast, the world wasn't up in arms about it or anything. Like it was the rookie of the year.
It created a lot of chatter amongst fan bases where you're in that upper echelon of quarterbacks and everything.
It was a landslide rookie of the year showing off some of the bravado that got him to where he was. But now, man, in retrospect, I've seen a few people say that. I'm like, man, I bet a couple of things. There's going to be way less of CJ on the podcast circuit. Way less of CJ on Radio Row if the season keeps going the way it is. You know, like
that's the one that, you know what, I've had multiple former either, you know, NFL people. I say multiple, two.
That's
that I can think of specifically that have basically apologetically texted me and were like, man, I hate that I'm even saying this, but man, I mean, do you think maybe at least part of this was a little bit of the like premature adulation?
Yeah.
Adulation.
Adulation.
Did we prematurely adulate on C.J. Stroud? It affects the lots of men at various times in their life, especially when they're younger. Premature adulation.
Right.
And I don't think so.
I think we adulate. You don't think we adulated prematurely?
No. I think this is where I'm going to put it.
Okay.
Let's look at previous cases of premature adulation. There was Baker Mayfield.
Yes.
I would say, was it his first year or his second year that was really promising?
Well, no, his rookie year.
His
rookie year, because remember they let him handpick Freddie Kitchens as the coach?
Yeah. And then Justin Herbert. I think, because Justin Herbert, and now Mina Kimes made a comparison to a C.J. Stroud to Justin Herbert comparison earlier in the year.
Yeah.
That some, and she meant it in a very positive way, but the way that it was phrased in the headline, both Chargers fans and Texans fans were irate about it.
Okay.
I think it was a prescient observation. She noticed that CJ might be a premature adulator, which was that the circumstances the circumstances around Justin Herbert made it really hard for him to kind of deliver on that promise from his first couple seasons.
Yeah.
And now you look this year with a different offensive coordinator, different head coach, everything else, the adulation meter is swinging back up.
Yeah, well, that's interesting because as you're laying that out with Justin Herbert, I'm like, okay, well, that took a regime change.
Took a long time,
And it took a regime change to get that out of him. You know, like he didn't come in with Brandon Staley. I think it was still Anthony Lynn that was there when they drafted Herbert. But her, you know, but that ride, he was offensive rookie of the year, and then
when he had Shane Steichen the first couple of years, first as a quarterbacks coach, and then as a no, he never had him as a coordinator.
Shane got promoted to Philly as the coordinator. So I think that's like overall. Because Herbert looks really good this year, but they're not asking him to do nearly as much as they were asking him to do with previous regimes a few years ago.
I mean, people were really upset with Lombardi for a long time wanted to get rid of him. He's been through a few. I think the thing with CJ is he's still doing a lot of things at an advanced level. He still makes throws that are way freakier than they even look on television necessarily when you look at some of the things he has to process in the pass protection that he's dealing with. But yes, clearly there's a hiccup here. In terms of putting him in the top five or anything like that, I think you and I got some pushback from our own listeners at times because we weren't ready to put him up there yet.
Yeah.
It was like, yes, he's on track for that, but he's not there yet. Right. He hasn't really proven it yet. Just as it was with Bobby Slowik, I'm still way more optimistic about C.J. Stroud long-term than I am Bobby Slowik.
Yep. Seth, I went through the exercise yesterday of tabulating the circle of swarms so far this year that we do. Mm-hmm. Like, who's made it the most, who's made it a few times. I think you and I have done a pretty good job of kind of nailing the storylines of the Texan season so far via the number of times that we've put certain players in the circle of swarm. I've got the circle of swarm scoreboard through week 12, and we will tell you who the leader in the clubhouse is coming up next.